Mishnah. We're holding on Chof Tes Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael. The Shliach is bringing a get from within Eretz Yisrael itself. The point being, in Eretz Yisrael itself, he doesn't need to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta. So therefore, b'chola, if now he becomes sick, ha'rezim b'shalcha b'yad acher, then he can send it with somebody else. Meaning he doesn't need to go in front of Beis Din to appoint a second shliach, because had it been that he's bringing from Chutzlaret to Eretz Yisrael, where he needs to be able to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam, then we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, then he's going to need to do something in front of Beis Din, because the second one has to be able to say something when he brings the get. He won't be able to say b'fanei nechtam, he'll have to say shliach Beis Din ani, but he'll have to say something to validate his credentials as a shliach, and to say that the get should have the dinim that we've been talking about all along, where it's brought from the din asayan, where the husband can't object to it, etc. But here, where it's all within Eretz Yisrael, and you don't need to say b'fanei nechtam, then therefore he can send it with somebody else. However, if the husband had told the original shliach when you're bringing her to get, go get this, go also pick up this object from her, then already he's not allowed to send the get with somebody else, because we can say the husband doesn't want that his object should be in somebody else's hands. This is a general rule that's discussed a lot in Bava Metzia, in Perek Ela Metzias, and in Hamafkid, that you can't, we're going to see in the Gemara over here, you're not allowed to lend something that you borrowed from one person, you're not allowed to lend it to somebody else, but it also includes that when you're a shomer for something, you have to be the shomer, you're not allowed to delegate the shmira to somebody else without the original owner's permission. The Gemara in Hamafkin qualifies that and says it's one thing if the other person is a member of your family. When you're mafkin something with somebody, it can be expected that you're going to also sometimes ask your family to watch it instead of you. It can also be if you had other times when this person has entrusted this object with the other person. But in general, we're talking about over here, you can't just pick some random person, even though you might trust him, the owner of the object might not. And the Gemara in Hamafkid in Bava Metzia has a whole sugya about why that should be so. Anyway. So Shain Rasunishi Pikturni Biadakha, he doesn't want his Pikadin to be in somebody else's hands. So if it was just a matter of delivering the get, then he could have delegated that. But because now there's something else involved as well, therefore he cannot. So the Gemara says, Omar of Kahana, Kolotnan. So the Kahana says the din of our Mishnah is specifically when he got sick or has any other oinus. But if he doesn't have an oinus, then he can't send it with somebody else. So the Gemara says, Pshita cholakatani. Well, obviously, the Mishnah says that he got sick, so that means that there was some kind of onus. Why does Rav Kahana need to tell us that taka only in that case? And the answer is, Ma'u detayma, without Rav Kahana telling us, you might have thought, Hu adin afagab deloy chola, maybe the same din would apply even if he wasn't sick, even if he just didn't feel like going and decided to delegate it to somebody else. You could argue that when he says chola is just because the Mishnah usually describes typical circumstances. So typically, why would he not fulfill his shlichus is because he's sick. But in fact, maybe the same din would apply even if he wasn't sick and just for whatever reason, not an onus, didn't want to go. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav Kahana tells us that no, the heter to make a second shliach would apply only when there's an onus. Well, then the question is, hechidami. So the question is, then, what's the scenario? How was the first shliach appointed that we should say that, what was the lashon that was used when he was appointed such that we would say there's a limitation on who he can appoint in his place and who he can't? If he just told him, bring this get, but he didn't say, you bring it, holuch just, it means bring, but it means not necessarily as a husband particular that it be this person. So if he just told him that, then what's the problem? Even if he wasn't sick, then what's the problem? He should still be able to send it with somebody else if he just doesn't feel like going for whatever reason, because the husband showed that with that expression, that he's not makbid, that it has to be delivered by this person. The Idr Amalei Atholich, if he stressed and said, you bring it, then then it shouldn't even work, even if he was sick, because the husband was makbid, that should be dabbed to him. So then in that case, if he can't deliver the get because he's sick, then the only thing to do would be to return it to the husband, and the husband will have to find another shliach. The ear of Shimon Gamliel, afilu chol anamiloi. And if you're going to say that our Mishnah is like the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, then we would say, even if he was sick, also not, because we're going to see in the following Braisa that Reb Shimon Gamliel does not allow him to make another shliach. So when the husband is not makbid, then fine. Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree. Tosfos says that you could make another shliach, but over here in our Gemara, in Braisa that we're going to bring now, Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying that ordinarily you can't appoint another shliach. So Tosfos says just that Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree when the husband is not makbid, then you can do it. But in other words, by default, he would assume that the husband is makbid. The Ritva says it a little bit differently. He says that ultimately the Gemara is going to answer when he's sick, fine. Usually the husband is not going to be makbid on such a thing because he realizes the guy is sick and therefore he had no choice. But right now the Gemara doesn't know that yet. So anyway, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. If the husband says, Hulach get zelishti, bring this get to my wife, hareza mashalchav yadachar, then he is allowed to send it with somebody else because we see that the husband was not makbid. He just said Hulach, which implies bring it, but he's not saying specifically you bring it. As long as it's brought, the husband will be happy. Keep in mind, by the way, with all of this, we're saying that this is all a shliach halacha that we're talking about over here, which is, we talked about a few days ago, you have different kinds of shluchim. This is the shliach who's going to stand in place of the husband, and he's going to be the one to deliver the get to the wife, and when he delivers it to her, then the divorce is going to take effect. So if he just says holach, then it means that he's not makbid, and anybody can bring it. But if he says, at holach get zelishti, but if he says, you bring the get to my wife, then he can't send it with somebody else. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, either way, the shliach cannot make another shliach. He would need the husband's reshus in order to do that. And if he doesn't have it, then he can't do it. So who is our Mishnah like when we're saying, and Reb Kahana is clarifying, that when he's sick, he's able to make another shliach, but when he's healthy, he's not, or otherwise has no oinus, then he's not able to. It doesn't seem to fit any of the opinion. It doesn't seem to fit any of the possibilities in this braisa. So the Gemara answers, you can give a few answers. Number one, we could be talking about even when the husband said holach, only if he's sick or has some other kind of onus, only then does he have the heter of sending somebody else. When the braisa had said that if he says holach, he can send it with somebody else, it didn't mean that just any time he wants, he could appoint another shliach. Only if, for whatever reason, he can't fulfill the shlichus himself. That would be one possibility. A second answer you could say is, even if the husband said you bring it, but again, it would be different if he got sick. We can assume that even though the husband specifically said you bring it, implying that he's makbid, that the person himself should bring it, he would realize that if there was an onus, then he can't hold him to that, and therefore he wouldn't mind somebody else taking it. A third possibility, again, is that we're following Reb Shimon Gamliel, that our Mishnah is following Reb Shimon Gamliel, and again, it's different when he's sick, then we're going to allow him to send somebody else, even though usually Reb Shimon Gamliel would not allow him to appoint a shliach at all. So based on that, you have several different possibilities. In the standard Seder Haget that we do now, that people do nowadays, actually, what's brought in Shulchan Aruch, they usually, when a shliach is being appointed, the Beis Din will usually direct the husband to say explicitly to the shliach that if necessary, you can appoint another shliach and so on and so forth, even up to 100 shluchim, and that way that removes any ambiguities and that makes it that for sure, whether chola or not, he's able to appoint somebody else. But if you don't do that, then you have what we're saying in our Gemara over here that only if Chola, but not otherwise. Okay. The Gemara says Tanan. Well, let's look at our Mishnah and see, which possibilities of these it follows. The Mishnah had said, Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael v'chola. We're saying that if he became sick, that if he's bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael, within Eretz Yisrael, and then he became sick, Harezim Ashalchav Yadakar. So we're saying he can send it with somebody else, but Uraminhu. The problem is, I have a contradiction from a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. The Mishnah says, Omer v'shnayim tnu get l'ishti, or l'shloisha. If he says to two people, give a get to, Omer v'shnayim tnu get l'ishti, he says to two people, give a get to my wife. So he didn't actually give them a physical get. But, since he in effect he made them edim, but it also means that they can't delegate the writing of the get to somebody else, means they themselves are going to have to write the get and deliver it to his wife. Because when he says tnu get the ishti, implies as obviously since he didn't give them a get, they have to write one. So in effect it means that he's giving them permission, telling them kisvu. On the other hand, since he's saying tnu, then they can't delegate it to somebody else. And continues the Mishnah, or the shloisha kisvu get to tnu l'ishti, or if he tells three people, write a get and give it to my wife. So then again, it means that they themselves have to write it. But the difference is, when he tells it to three, then they are able to delegate that to somebody else, because by appointing three people, in effect, he made them a beis din. So we see, and therefore, a beis din already is able to make a shliach. So inhu in avos shliach loy. So we see in the case of the two, we're saying that they themselves have to write the get. Avos shliach loy, but to appoint a shliach. They can't do that. So even in the case of the three, what he can do is fine. They can delegate to somebody else to write the get, but they still have to sign it. So we see though that a yochid at any rate can't create a shliach. So what are you telling us over here in our Mishnah that you could? And we're saying if he became sick, Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, because you have to consider hosam time am I, because after all, what's the reason behind over there why they can't delegate it to somebody else? Mishum bizoyin debal. The reason is because of the embarrassment of the husband. So Rashi explains, usually the husband himself really is supposed to be writing the get. After all, the pasuk says v'chosav lo, which implies that he writes for her. Now, many times the husband doesn't know how to write a get, and therefore he hires a sofer to do it. But that because he may not want it to be publicized that he doesn't know how to write the get, therefore if he tells the two people, to write the get, then the implication is he wants them to write it themselves so that it doesn't become publicized. But in this case, Hocha, Baal Lekofid, whereas over here, when it comes to Halacha, the husband doesn't mind, because what Kepeda would there be? The get's already written. The case later on in Daf Samach Vav is talking about where the get has not been written yet. So there, they can't delegate the writing to somebody else because of bizoyin of the husband, but here that wouldn't be a factor. Tosfos actually points out about that. I mean, what bizoyin would there be? Didn't we learned a few days ago that the wife herself can write the get. So why would it be any worse for the husband, for the husband's shluchim to delegate to somebody else to write the get? So Tosfos says that no, the point is, usually the husband would write it. The chiddush was over there, as we learned a few days ago, that she can write the get, even on a piece of parchment or whatever that belongs to her, and we assume that she'll know to be matne to her husband in order for it to be a valid get, because again, if she doesn't, then you have a problem. But that would be the chiddush over there, not so much to highlight the point that the husband may not know how to write the get. Usually it would be the husband's responsibility to write the get. If he can't, then he hires somebody else to do it. But it might be embarrassing for him to for it to be known that he can't do that. So therefore, if the get hasn't been written yet, they can't delegate the writing of the get. But here, in our Mishnah, once the get has already been written, then there's no bizoyim to him in appointing a second shliach. That's Abaye's answer. Rava Amar Mishum de Milu. Rava gives a different answer. The problem with the shlichos that we're talking about over there on Daf Samach Vav is it's mili. It involves words. It involves words. We'll talk about in a second what that means. Umili le mimsir on the shliach. You can't give over words to a shliach. So Rashi explains, in other words, that the difference is exactly that. Mili means you have something that is you have something intangible. So in other words, exactly that. You can give over an actual physical object to somebody else, like the actual physical get. But you can't give over just words where you told the shluchim write this get, and we told the shluchim write this get. Then they can't delegate those words of they can't delegate that to that instruction write this get to somebody else. So that would be considered mili. Then there's a couple of other explanations what mili means. Another explanation Tosfos brings in some places from Mordechai actually brings from Hakodesh Miradush. So Hakodesh, I guess, means he was one of the Baalei HaTosfos. We don't know much about him. In some places, he's called Reb Shloima. Meiradush means he was from a town called Radush or something pronounced vaguely like that in France. I think I've seen one possibility is actually in some places Tosfos quotes a Reb Shloima Midroyish, which would be there's a town in France called Dreux, however it's pronounced, D-R-E-U-X. So maybe he came from there, whatever the case. Anyway, the Mordechai quotes the Kodesh Meradush. The Pashtus is called Kodesh because he was killed off Kodesh Hashem, but I don't think we know really much about him to know for sure. Anyway, he gives an explanation that mili means something that depends on somebody else's consent. So over here, you need somebody else to write the get. Therefore, that would be something that you can't give over to the shliach. As opposed to when we're talking in our Mishnah, where the get's already been written and it's just a matter of bringing it to the wife, there you don't need her consent because you can divorce her baal kocha. So that wouldn't be considered mili. So that's a different definition of mili. Then there's another explanation. The Mordechai brings yet another explanation. He says from Mori HaKoyin, from my Rebbe the Koyin, who again I don't know if we know who that is exactly, but anyway he learns that mili means something that's not Gemar Maisa. It's not the last stage that has to be done in order for the thing to be accomplished. So writing the get is not the last stage. You still have to deliver it, as opposed to once the get has been written, then all you need to do is deliver it, so that can be considered that it's already soif ha-maisa and it's not called mili. Whatever the case, the point is that, so you have, however you define mili, then Rava is saying you can't give those over to a shliach, and therefore the writing of the get cannot be delegated to somebody else. So the most is my binayu. Okay, so we have Abaya's answer and we have Rava's answer. Abaya's answer that depends on the bizoyan of the husband, because now people are going to know that he can't write the get himself. And Rava's reason because mili le nimsu on mashliach. The most is my binayu. So what's the practical difference between these two reasons? And the answer is ikka binayu shliach matonim. The nafkamina between them would be when you're sending a shliach to bring a balabas says to two edim, write a shtar matona that I want to give something to Koyin. So if we say it's a matter of bizoyan, then he's not required to write the shtar. So therefore, there's no problem with them delegating it to somebody else. Unlike the get, where it says v'chos avlo, by a shtar matana, it doesn't say any such thing. So therefore, then if according to Abaya's reason, there'd be no problem with those shluchim going and telling somebody else to write the shtar. As opposed to according to Rava's reason, then with that mili, the mimsir and the shliach, you have the same problem with mili. And again, according to all the various opinions, you have the same issue. If you say that mili is something intangible,
then here it's intangible because the Shtar Matana hasn't been written yet. If you say that it's a, if you say that it's a matter like a Kodesh Meradish says that requires the other person's consent, a Matana requires the other person's consent. He can turn it down after all. And if you say, like, and if you say like the Mordechai in the name of Mori Akoyin, that it means that, that it means that it's not the last stage of it, well then this isn't the last stage of it either, because you have, because the Shtar Matana has yet to be written. So, and the Gemara points out, in that case, then the Nakamina between Abaye and Rava would depend on the Machloikas of Rav and Shmuel. Because Rav on Matana any could get, or Shmuel on Matana Arei could get. So Rav says that a gift is not like a get. So therefore, that would mean, even though with a get, we're saying that when you tell two people to write it, they can't delegate it to somebody else. But when it comes to a Shtar Matana, you could. So Rav's statement that you could would follow Abaye's logic that with a special reason by a get, because Bizoyin the Baal, and you wouldn't have that by Matana. As opposed to when Shmuel says Matana Harei to get, that would fit with Rava's explanation that the problem is that Mili Le Minsir and Mashliach, and by Matana you have the same problem with Mili.
You said before, but what was the reason is embarrassed for the
husband? We said because the husband himself really is supposed to be writing the get. So therefore, so if he tells two people to write it, and implying that he himself doesn't know how to, then if they delegate it to somebody else, it'll become embarrassing for the husband that he doesn't know how to do it himself. Yeah. Tosfos also mentions a point if they tell somebody else to not really a different point, but Tosfos says that that's why also not only they have to write it, but they also have to give it. They have to be personally the ones to deliver the get. When he said the two people kissvu, because if they tell somebody else to give it, then that other person is going to realize that the husband maybe didn't write it, and the husband is mocked at the giving as well. So when the get was already written, then he doesn't mind having it delegated to somebody else. That would be what we said. Therefore, that if the original shliach became sick, then you can give it to somebody else. But if he tells them to write it, which is the case in the Mishnah later on in Daf Samach Vav, then that's it. That's what we're saying. If you have a get that was not written with the husband's instructions, then it would be possible. Yes. So here, if he tells two people to write the get and they go and delegate it to somebody else without his permission, then it would be possible. So in fact, again, in the Seder get they do nowadays, the husband tells the sofer to write the get, and he tells him write as many gittin as are necessary in order to get even one kosher or one, and I think he also tells the sofer that if need be, you can delegate it to somebody else. And that way, he's clearly saying, to begin with, that you can, and that way you don't have any of these issues, and even if the sofer falls sick or otherwise can't complete the job, then somebody else can do it.
Those are the pre-written
gittin. And then they're not really, actually. We talked about the other day about pre-written gittin. We said in the end that the gzera tofus otter todef. We said in there, we had different opinions over there, but in the end we said, with a get, we don't even want the yevid, maybe the tofus can be written in advance, but the chachila we shouldn't, because we don't want him to mistakenly think that he can write the tofus in advance too, and then it would be possible, because you need the get to be written l'shma. So the ma'aseh, nowadays, all gittin are written from scratch. Ksubas and things like that are different. We talked about other kinds of shtaris that they can be written, that they don't need to be written in Lashma, of course. So there you can have blanks. And in fact, for example, with Ksubas, you have pre-printed ones that people commonly use. Mind you, there are a couple of Achronim. I meant to talk about this the other day briefly, but mind you, there are actually a couple of Achronim who don't like the idea of pre-printed Ksubas either, but the consensus of most Achronim is that there's not an issue with it. But Gittin is different, yeah. Okay, if the get has not yet been written and he tells people to write the get, then they themselves have to write the get. For the reasons that we just said, because of Bizoyan or because Mili Lemimsur and Mashliach. If the get is already written and he's giving it to somebody to send, then as long as that person doesn't have an onus, then he's required to bring it. But if not, then he's able to delegate another shliach to bring it. This is all, again, in Eretz Yisrael, where there's no issue b'fani nichta, b'fani nachtam. What happens in Chutzlar, that's where he needs to be able to say that will learn in the next mission. Now, the Mishnah had continued. Now, the Mishnah had continued, on the other hand, if the husband says to the shliach, when you're going to give her the get, go pick up this object from her, then he said he can't delegate it to somebody else because the husband may not want that his pekodim should be in somebody else's possession. So Omer Shlokish, Tanish on the Rebbe. So the Shlokish says, in this connection, Rebbe taught the following halacha. When Rebbe was compiling the Mishnah and teaching it to his Talmidim, in this connection, he brought up the din, that a borrower is not allowed to lend out the object that he borrowed to somebody else, and a renter is not allowed to rent out the object that he borrowed to somebody else. Unless, of course, the original person gave him permission, but it's the same idea. In other words, it's the same idea. He doesn't want that, when we're saying an on Mishnah that he can't send it with somebody else, has nothing to do with the shluchos of the get, per se. We're not saying, Rashi explains, that if you were to send it with somebody else in that case, the get wouldn't be a get. It will be a valid get. But he did make him a shliach to divorce to bring the get. And therefore we said, if chola, if he's sick, he can send it with somebody else. But by the way, when we're saying lo yishalchenu, is because he shouldn't be sending it with somebody else because ein ritzon yishepek don biyadacha. But if he was over on that and did that, nevertheless, the get would be a get. And Tosfos, by the way, points out, so in that sugya, in Bav Metzia, in Hamafkid, where it talks about this whole matter of Ein Ritzon Yishepek Don Biyadacha, the Gemara presents there, Machloikas Abaya and Rava, whether Shomer Shemosa L'Shomer is a Chayev or Potter, if Reuven is a Shomer for an object, and he decides to hand it over to Shimon to watch if something happens to it while Shimon is guarding it, would Reuven be chayev or not? And the Gemara discusses all the ins and outs of it, and one point is, the Gemara says he might be potter, Abaya says he's potter because Moser the Ben Das, Rav actually says over there, that he'd be potter because Moser the Ben Das, he did after all give it to somebody who has Das, so nevertheless, even Rav would agree that Lachtili shouldn't be doing it. So Rish Lakish says, so Rebbe explained when he taught this Mishnah that the reason behind the din of our Mishnah is not that if you were to delegate somebody else to get would be possible, but that he shouldn't be doing it because of the other object, because Ein Ritzon Yishepek Don Biyadacha. Amaloi Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, that particular din, even children know that. Of course, if you lend somebody to somebody else, you don't need Rebbe to be teaching us that. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yochanan explains, you're saying, Rish Lakish, that if the person is over and asks somebody else to take it, the get will still be kosher. No, zimna de gita nami lehati. There can be times when it would passle the get as well. Because saying, go and bring her this get and pick up this object from her would be the equivalent of saying to her, Al tigarsha el babayis. Suppose that the husband says to the shliach, I want you to give her this get only in the house, only in the ground floor of the house. The gersha ba'aliyah, and instead he does it in the second floor. Or I want you to give it to her davka with your right hand, the gersha b'smol, and he gives it with her left hand, so he never made him a shliach for such a thing. So therefore, the same thing, the shlichus of the get might depend on the object. So in other words, in effect, the husband would be saying, if you can't pick up that object from her, don't give her the get. Well, then if he sends the get with somebody else, and somebody else is picking up the object, the husband may be machped on that, and he might not have appointed him a shliach with that in mind. So don't tell me, Rish Lakish, that the get is always going to be kosher. We're just saying he was over on this Ein Ritzon Yishepek Don Biyadacha. He might actually be passing on the get as well.
It's because it has nothing to do with the get.
It just happens to be. Yeah. So the Gemara points out, Dekula Alma, now both of them would agree, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would agree, Hecha de Naftala Ape, if she came out to greet the Shliach, the Yahavalei Chepet, and she gave him the object, Vahodah Shaklamine, and then she took the get from him. Both of them will agree that the get is a valid get. Because ultimately, we're going to say the husband was not makbid on the get itself. It's not like the get depends. If the husband had said, in other words, because first she gave him the object. So now that part of it is over. Now comes the giving of the get. So at that point, there's nothing holding back the giving of the get. In other words, we can't say the husband, in effect, might have been saying, I want this get to be given only if you first get this object from her. Well, if he got the object, there's no more problem. So therefore, the dievet, if you were to send the get with somebody else, for example, if chola, then even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it's not considered, that's not a problem. Keep pligi hecha de omale. The machlokas would be only if he specifically says. So in other words, if he just said, so if the husband hadn't said one way or the other, he just said totally chayfetz plainly, get me this object, then fine. Then if she offered it to him first, then fine.
Order doesn't
matter. The order then right. So then the order wouldn't matter. But the nafkamina would be the kipligi heichad amalei shkul mino chayfetz v'hoder havlagita. Suppose the husband says, get this object from her, then give her the get. V'ozal ihu v'yahad lagita v'hoder shakul mina. Then she does it the other way around. First he gives her the get, and then gets the object from her. So v'hoder shakul mina chayfetz, and then he takes the object. So when he said it in that order, you could say that he was makbid. He plans to hold back the get and not give it to her if she doesn't give her that object. In other words, Rashi uses the expression the Lord dos of the iguna. He wants to harass her by she's going to remain an iguna unless she gives this object. Is he an erlich person for doing that? No, but halacha is halacha that he does have the ability to do that. So therefore, so now when he said when he did differently. He gave her the get first and then took the object from her. So Rabbi Yochanan posel. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say it's possible because he switched around the order, and that would apply boy even if he himself gave it. All the more so if he had his shliach do it instead. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means, that sometimes the get itself might be possible. So and therefore that would explain the loy shalchena b'yat acha of the Mishnah. Rashi says because. If he gives it to the first one, when he gives it to the first one and tells him, I want you to pick up this object and then deliver the get, when the first one tells it over to the second one, he may not preserve that order. He may just tell him, Tony sent me and to give the get, and by the way, pick up this object, and the second one is not going to realize that that needs to be done in Dafke in that order. But Rishlokish, Machsha B'shluchim, B'choshekin Boy, Rishlokish would say that it's kosher, even with the Shliach, and how much more so him himself, because Rishlokish would say he's not really being machbid, that it has to be Dafke in that order, he's not going to be Ludoisa B'iguna, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, as Rashi explains about Rabbi Yochanan, he just means he wants the object. It's not that he just mentioned the object first, maybe because it's more important to him or whatever, but not necessarily because he intends to actually hold back the get until the object is received.
Even if according to the other one, according to the first one, who says he can't be puzzled?
According to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah.
If it was accomplished, it still matters, does it?
So that's what we said. If he received the object first and then gave the get, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that the get was fine. That's what we said at the bottom of the previous Amud. Because the fact is, you received the object first, so therefore, so now the only possible problem would be Ein Ritzonah Sheyipkdei Biyadaka. Fine, but that doesn't matter in Dinim Mamonis. That's not a reason to pass all the get. But as long as it was done in order. But if he did it out of order, then that would be the question.
Even though it was a
couple. Right. Tosfos points out, by the way, you have a Gemara in Ksubas that talks about a different scenario over there where you have, when he sends a shliach to give the person money to pay off a loan or whatever and get back the shtar, so whatever order he says it, then if the guy gives him the money without getting the shtar first, then the shlichus is void, and the mashalayach can say that you can say the shlichus is void, and I rescind what you just did. The difference is, Tosfos says, because those two things obviously have to do. The fact that he mentioned pick up the shtar, he wants to make sure the other guy is not going to claim that this payment was for some other loan, which the Gemara calls over there sitroi. But here, that's not an issue, so therefore there's not a problem, as long as the shliach did do things in the correct order, then fine. Okay, so this that was saying also that as long as he did it in the right order, then it's fine. But if he didn't do it in the right order, then Rabbi Yochanan is going to passel even the get, and he's going to passel kol shekin b'shlucha. He said how much more so with the shliach, and Rashi explained because he might have not even told the shliach the instructions properly. That part Tosfos disagrees with. So just remember to tell him to put in the proper order that the husband said. What it is Tosfos says when he says in that order, get from her this object and then give her the get. So again, he's making one dependent on the other. Even if the second shliach did do exactly what he was told, but because he said the shlichus of the get depends on this other object, then Tosfos says that means that he wants the shlichus to depend on the object. Any change from the das abal, any change from the husband's das, is going to passel that get. And that would include, therefore, so that would include even appointing a second shliach, because the husband, by saying pick up this object, and that includes ein mitzoni sheyekik gurni biyad acher, is implying therefore I don't want you to send it with somebody else. So therefore, Tosfos learns. So again, according to Rashi, only if the second one did it out of order would it be a problem. According to Tosfos, even if he did it in order, it would be a problem because the husband was clearly makbid that only his original shliach should do it. So therefore, it would come out that if in that case where there's an object involved to pick up and the first shliach can't do it, then he's going to have to return to the husband and tell him I can't bring this get because I'm not available anymore. Okay. Mishnah says, now, so we said in the previous Mishnah what happens when the shliach is in Eretz Yisrael. So there you don't have the issue of refani nechta, refani nechtam. Now what happens if he's bringing from Chutz Lar, that's what he does. So the Mishnah says, maybe get me v'dinas yam, if he's bringing a get from overseas, v'chola, and he became sick, oisa shliach v'beis din v'shalchoi. Then he can appoint another shliach in beis din, and then he can send off that person with the shliach. The reason he has to do it in Beis Din is because again, the first one has to say in front of the Beis Din, b'fanei nechtam, because the second one won't be able to, and then they can delegate it to a second shliach. But oimer lefneim b'fanei nechtam. So the first shliach says b'fanei nechtam. The ein shliach achon tzarich shiyeh b'fanei nechtam. Now, when the second shliach comes, he doesn't have to be able to say b'fanei nechtam. Ela oimer shliach Beis Din ani. He says I'm a shliach of Beis Din. And we can assume that Beis Din knew what they were doing, and therefore the get is kosher. And then you have the same rules as we've been talking about since the beginning of the Masechta, where now the husband has no possibility of objecting to the get, and it's considered as though the signatures were validated by two Eidim, etc. So the Gemara says, The Chachamim, the Chachmei HaYeshiva, asked Avimi, the father of Rav Abahu, they said, Boy me name Rav Abahu. Ask your father, ask Rabahu the following question. Shliach de shliach, mishavi shliach oiloi. Suppose that you have the second shliach, Can he now appoint a third shliach instead? When we say that the second shliach can say shliach based in ani, would that apply even to a shliach of a shliach? Or not? Oiloi. So Avimi tells them, you don't really need to ask this question. Apparently, what it is, in other words, the Chachamim, the Rav Abahu would have his son Avimi, I guess, sort of screen the questions that come to him, so they're not coming to him with every question that comes up. This way, he can focus more on the more difficult things. Anyway, so Avimi says you have no reason to ask that. Holo tiboylehu midchatoni, because the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had used the expression the last shliach. Now it didn't say the second shliach. So therefore, miklal the mishavi shliach. That implies the word achron implies that you can have another shliach instead and not just the second one. Because the word achron, the word achron can mean the second one, but it can also mean the last one. An interesting side thing in this actually is that you have a pasuk where the Navi Chagai says when at the beginning of the second Mishnah, he says, Godu yir kvoida bayis hazeh ha'achron min arishay. the glory of this latter house will be greater than that of the first one. The glory of the second mikdash will be greater than the first. So some people wanted to argue. Achron means the last one, and that implies there's not going to be a third base mikdash, chas v'shalom. But in fact, the word Achron can mean the later one and not necessarily the last one. You have by the oisus that Moshe was told to do for in front of Paray and in front of the Jewish people in Parashas Shmos. Hashem tells him, if they don't listen, if the Jewish people don't listen, Lakola Osa Rishon, they have meaning of Lakola Osa Achron, where Achron there doesn't mean the last one, because there's another one after it. So we see that the word Achron can just mean a later one in a series, not necessarily the last one. But here, in the Lashon of Chazal, if it actually just meant the second one, it would have said Shane. So Achron means even the last one in the series. So therefore, Sir Rabini says that's a, so the answer is, of course, rather, if you're going to be asking my father a question, what you should be asking is, Kima Shavi Shliach, the based in Oyafil Shaloi the based. When we're saying the first one, we're talking about the second one. If the second one is going to be appointing a third Shliach, and we know that he can, does he have to do that in Basedin, or can he do that outside of Basedin?
The first said, after
you said the first one said the fun and nechta. Now the second one can say shliach based in ani. The question is, if the second one has to delegate to a third one, what would the third one say? So that should be the question. Omrule, so the other chachamim answered, and the other chachamim answered, Avimi, ha loymi boyalad. Actually, as far as that, we don't have the question. Vidkotani, ela oymi shliach based in ani. Since the Mishnah says that, the second one says shliach based in ani. So therefore, that implies he has to have been appointed and based in. Otherwise, how could he say shliach based in ani? So in other words, the answer would be, yes, the second one can appoint the third shliach, but he has to appoint him and based, he has to appoint him and based in order in front of based in, so that the third one can also say shliach based in ani. So the Gemara continues. Reb Nachman Beitzchok Masni Hachi. Reb Nachman Beitzchok learned that the exchange, that the dialogue went as follows. It started with Amri Le Rabbanon Rabbini Brei De Rabbahu, Boi Minei Rabbani Rabbahu. According to Reb Nachman Beitzchok's version, they asked Rabbini to ask the Rabbahu, Shliach the Shliach. When you have a Shliach of a Shliach, the third Shliach, Ki Meshavi Shliach the Beistin, O Shaloi the Beistin. If he's going to appoint, according to the second version, they started with the question of whether it needs to be appointed and based in or not. In the first version, they were asking, can you even appoint a third shliach? And the answer was from the Mishnah that yes. Now in the second version, they started with the question is, it's a given that he can appoint the third, that the second one can appoint the third, but does he have to do it in front of based in? Amalahu, so Avimi asks them, V'tiboy l'chu im shavi shliach ba'alma. First, you should ask the question whether B'chlali can appoint a shliach. Omrulay, and according to this version, the Chachamim say to Avimi, Holo come a boylon. We have no doubt about that. Ein shliach miditnan, ditnan ein a shliach achron, because the Mishnah used the expression the last shliach doesn't have to say b'fanenechtem, b'klal the shliach m'shavi shliach. So we see that true, one shliach can appoint a shliach. We don't have a question about that. Elokhi come and boy along the basin, or shalom the basin. Our only question is whether it's in basin or not. Omalahu, and Avimi answers them, Honami like to boy the hu. There's no reason you should have that question. Vidkotani Elohim a shliach based in ani, since it says that he has to be able to say shliach based in ani, so obviously he has to have been appointed in based. Okay, so according to either version, the bottom line is that it's clear that the shliach can appoint another shliach, but it always has to be done in based in, so that the last one can say shliach based in ani. Okay. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, shliach be'eretz Yisrael oisa kama shluchim. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, where there's no b'fanenechtem, then he could make as many shluchim as necessary. There he doesn't need to do it in front of Beis Din, because, so therefore nobody needs to say shliach Beis Din ani, so therefore you can make new shluchim indefinitely. Again, as we learned in the previous, and we learned in connection with the previous Mishnah, only if he's sick or has some other kind of onus, and only if the husband didn't tell him to chayfetz poini. But otherwise, as far as the issue of b'fanenechtem, since that doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael, then therefore he could appoint, and therefore you could appoint a chain of as many shluchim as necessary.
There's no kafid over here at all.
And there's no kafid over here at all, again, because why would there be a reason to be makbid? The writing of the get has already been accomplished, so the husband doesn't have any embarrassment embarrassment that people will know that he can't write a get. And as far as the delivery of the get, we assume that he's not machped that should be daft to that person. We talked about it on Aleph. Maybe if he says, at holach, he says, you bring it, then that might be different. But even then, we said that maybe cholah would be an exception to that. The husband, we can't expect that the husband is going to be machped if the guy is sick, that he shouldn't be able to delegate it to somebody else. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi, im nes rishon batlu kolon. Suppose the first shliach dies before the get reached the woman, then all of them, and the shlichus of all of them is batlu, because they're all coming from his koyach. So therefore, if he's gone, then all of them are gone. But Amar Mabar Ravashi, hod abed katnusi. However, Mabar Ravashi, who was Ravashi's son, says, you should know, this statement of my father, dekatnusihi, that is something that he said when he was younger. And it's something that, yes, Rashi says you could refute it. You could say he said that when he was younger, and now when he became older, maybe he realized it's not so. But in any case, we can show that it's not necessarily a good reason to say. Even mesbal, because after all, you have to consider, suppose the husband had died, then would there be any mamoshus in them? Of course not. The whole shlichus would be bato. Kulu mikoyach man kosu, because who do they come? They all come from whose power? Mikoyach the baal kosu. They come from the power of the husband. They're all shluchim of the husband. Isse the baal isnu the kulu. Less ne the baal, less ne the baal, less ne the kulu. Only if the husband dies, so when, as long as the husband is alive, then they all continue to exist and they have their shliach, but they have their shlichus. But if the husband dies, then their shlichus expires. So it doesn't depend on the first shliach. It depends on the husband. For that reason, also, we had yesterday in the Mishnah, when we talked about the case where the person is bringing the shliach and the husband was old or sick, we said he can continue to bring it b'cheska shulkayim. And Rashi used the expression over there. We're not concerned that the shlichus is bottle. So we talked about a little bit yesterday why Rashi uses that phrasing that we don't say the shlichus is bottle, rather than saying we're not concerned of ein get la'achamisa. But the bottom line is, we see in our Gemara over here an example of that, that was saying that it really depends on whether the husband is alive or not. Once he dies, then the shlichus is bottle. So therefore, that previous Mishnah, with that earlier Mishnah, we'd be talking in the same vein that as long as we have a chazaka, that the guy is alive, then we can deliver, then we can deliver the get and assume that he still is.
The husband,
yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells, Hahu gathered the shodala gitel advesu. Here we're going to talk about another example, another twist on this point of shliach oisa shliach. So there was a man who was sending a get to his wife. Omar shliach lo yadayin lo. So the husband says, how can I bring her the get? I don't recognize her. I don't recognize her.
Yeah.
The shliach says, so how am I going to bring her the get? How am I going to bring her the get? So the husband tells him, no problem. Zil yave l'abra b'manyumi. Go give the get to Abba b'manyumi. Do ihu yodala. He knows her. The laser will lays for me alone, and then Abba b'manyumi can go and deliver the get to her. Also, v'lay ashkach ba'abba b'manyumi. So the shliach went, but he couldn't find Abba b'manyumi either. Ashkach el rabbohu v'rab chaninim v'popo v'rab yitzchak na'fa. He found these three chachamim, were sitting together, the Yosef Rav Safra Gabayhu, and together with them Rav Safra was sitting. Now the three chachamim that we just named all lived in Eretz Yisrael. They're all called Rabbi, meaning that they had smicha. I mean, the original smicha ish mipiish. Rav Safra is called Rab, meaning that he came. He was from Bavel. We find in the Gemara he used to travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and then bring the teachings of one place to the other. But he was from Bavel, and he had never received smicha because that smicha can be given only in Eretz Yisrael. So the shliach found those four chachamim sitting together. So now the shliach says, so what should I do? I don't know the wife herself. Abba b'manyumi I can't find. So what do I do? So omrule, so they told him, Mesir milach kamedidan, give over your words, give over your shliach in front of us. Dekiyaisi abba b'manyumi nesvinale. When abba b'manyumi comes, we'll give it to him. V'leizu v'lesvinale, and then he'll be able to give it to her. So we'll be your middleman. But that was the three chachamim from Eretz Yisrael said that. But Amar Lahu Rav Safra says, how could you do that? However, this was not a shliach who was appointed for the purpose of Gerushin. He wasn't appointed a shliach to actually bring her to get. Normally a shliach halacha, as we've been talking about, he stands in place of the husband and he brings the get and gives it to the wife, and now it's considered as though it went from the husband to her and therefore she's divorced. This person was never appointed as a shliach for the actual gerushin, as for the actual gerushin. His job was to give it to Abba Baman Yomi. So how could he give it to somebody else? How can he delegate that shlichus to somebody else? So they were all embarrassed that they hadn't realized that point. So Rava later on commenting on the story says, you see that, look at this, Rav Safra was able to outwit, was able to overpower three chachamim who have smicha. They have smicha, ishmi piyish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Safra did not, and still he realized the point that they had not realized. But Amar Rav Ashi, the Ma'at Tachinu, but Rav Ashi says, in what way do you think that he defeated them? It's not necessarily a valid counter argument, what he said. Mika Amale Ababaman Yumi, the loy at, did he specifically say that Ababaman Yumi should give it to her and not you? Let's say, when the guy comes to Eretz Yisrael, let's say he has some way of finding out. Or when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he finds out somehow who the woman is. Somebody shows him a picture of her or whatever. Then, so the husband never said, you shouldn't give it to her. He just said, if you don't know who she is, then delegate it to Abba Baman Yomi and he'll do it. So you can't say that he was never, but you can't say that he was told not to be a shliach for Gerushin. He was told, you don't have to be a shliach for Gerushin. You can delegate it to Abba Baman Yomi.
All could say, I don't know who she is.
But the husband never said to him, I absolutely do not want you to give it to her. If he had, then yeah, Rav Safra would have a point. But Rav Ashi is saying, since he never said that, then that's not necessarily such a valid point. Ikadamri, another version of the story is Omar Rabba Kapchina Rabban Kapchina Rab Safra Klasa Rabban Samochi Bitausa. In the second version, Rava says, yes, it's true that Rav Safra outwitted the three chachamim. By the way, the word kapchinu, Rashi explains, literally the shirtish kofach, literally means to cut off. So it means like he cut out the legs from underneath them. Like they can't find an answer for what they're saying. So now in the second version, Rava is saying that actually Rav Safra's argument against them was itself a mistake. In other words, Rava is saying Rav Safra said what sounded like a good point, but the truth is there's a mistake in it, like Rav Ashi had just said, because the husband didn't tell him don't be a shliach l'gerushin. So therefore, so it would have been fine if he had actually given over the shlichus to them. But Amar Rav Ashi my ta'usa. Rav Ashi says, what's the mistake? What makes you think that Rav Safra made a mistake? My ta'amalei ababaman yomi v'layat. After all, what did the husband tell him? He said, Abba Baman Yomi, and not you. So in other words, we can say that yes, the husband did in fact rescind the guy's shlichus as a shliach halacha, and told him, you just be the mailman basically to bring it to Abba Baman Yomi, but you should not give her the get herself, even if you find out who she is afterward. That's what Rav Ashi is saying in the second version. Tosfos has a bit of a different girsa that in both versions, Rav Ashi is actually stating what the mistake was. According to the girsa we have in front of us on the Gemara, the first version was Rava is saying Rav Safra was correct, and Rav Ashi is pointing out, no, there's a flaw in Rav Safra's reasoning. According to the second version that we have in front of us in the Gemara, it's the other way around. Rava is saying there's a flaw in Rav Safra's reasoning, and Rav Ashi is saying why. There's not necessarily a flaw in it. Rav Safra was correct. According to Tosfos' Girsa, in both versions, Rav Ashi is saying, yes, it's true that Rav Safra made a mistake. In the first version, Rava is saying Rav Safra managed to beat them, and Rav Ashi is saying, no, he made a mistake. And in the second version, Rava is saying he beat them, but he himself made a mistake in the process, and Rav Ashi is agreeing, you're right, he made a mistake because such and such.
Because he said, by saying
that Abba Baman Yomi, you should give it, he implies not act. He implies that you should not. So according to Tosfos, the point is, in both versions, Rav Ashi is agreeing that Rav Safra had made a mistake. In the first version, he's saying against Rava that Rav Ashi made a mistake. And in the second version, when Rava says Rav Safra made a mistake, Rav Ashi is agreeing with him. According to the version we have in the Gemara in front of us, in the first version, Rav Ashi is saying that Rav Safra made a mistake. And the second version, he's saying he did not.
Rav Safra is the one who
contradicted the three Chachamim and said that the husband had not made him a Shliach or Geirish. So Rav Safra is the one who came from Baba.
Okay, so it's either case he's not.
So that's the thing. So first we have two different versions in the Gemara of what Rava said. We have either that Rava said Rav Safra beat them, or in the first version, he says Rav Safra beat them, but the argument he used is flawed. So now we have in the Gemara, when Rav Ashi responds to that, so in the Gemara, the way we have it over here is in the first version, Rav Ashi is saying, you, Rava, are saying he beat them, but no, it was a mistake. And in the second version, Rava is saying there was a mistake on Rav Safra's part, and Rav Ashi is saying, no, there was not. In Tosfos's Girsa, in both versions, Rav Ashi is saying, yes, there was a mistake on Rav Safra's part. Okay. The Gemara tells another case. There was a man who sent a get to his wife. And he tells the shliach, give it to her only after 30 days. Now the shliach had an onus within those 30 days. Itnis, we go to Tlosin Yoimen, he had an onus during those 30 days, and he wasn't going to be able to deliver it. So he came to Rava to ask what to do. Omar Rava, chola time amayim mishum de onus. Look, in the previous Mishnah, when we said that he's sick, then he's able to delegate it to another shliach. So why is that? Because it's a case of onus. Well, hainami onusu. In this case, the shliach is also onus. So therefore, let him appoint another shliach, and the other shliach will deliver it after 30 days. So therefore, Amalei, so Rava says to the Shliach, Meser Milach Kamedidan, so give over your words, delegate it to another Shliach in front of us, in front of the Basin. After 30 days, we will appoint a Shliach, and we will make sure that it gets to her. Omrulei Rabban and Rava, but the Chachamim said to Rava, how could you do that? Again, well, Shliach Shalainitan Legerushin, who? Isn't it a Shliach Shalainitan Legerushin? Because within 30 days, he can't be delivering the get, because the husband specifically told him to give it only after 30 days. So he's not a Shliach Legerushin, so how can he delegate it, just like we had just now in the story of the three Chachamim and Rav Safra? So how could he delegate his shlichus within the 30 days when he's not yet considered a shliach l'gerushin? It would be just like in the previous case where he's not a shliach l'gerushin and he can't give it over to somebody else.
So now he doesn't become a shliach until after 30 days.
So in effect, he's not becoming a shliach until after 30 days. Omelahu, but Rava says, not necessarily. Given to the boser shlosim yomim motzi megarish, since he's able to give her the get after 30 days, then he is considered a shliach who was given for gerushin. All it means is there's going to be a delay, but he was given to accomplish gerushin. But the Chachamim asked Rava, the leichu shema pius, shouldn't you have a concern that during those 12 months he was mephias, he made up with her? So Rashi explains, it's one thing if he sent a get from the Dinas Hayam and there was no particular amount of time, then we can say that we don't have to worry Shema Pius, because the husband's going to figure the Shliach probably got there ahead of me. By the time that comes, you Mephias, or the Shliach will have already given the get, it's a done deal. But here where he's specifically, so he's not going to bother schlepping from Chutzlar at Seretz Yisrael or whatever, from one place to another, on the possibility that the Shliach didn't reach there yet. But here, when he knows he has a 30-day grace period, maybe he would make sure to come during that time and be Matthias' wife and therefore undo the get. Miloitnan, isn't it similar to what we learn later on in the Masechta? Me'achshav im le'bosi mikan ba'ad yud b'schodesh. If the husband gives the get, saying that it should take effect as of now if I don't arrive within the next 12 months.
Let's say he's
going to war or whatever. Or mess with Shnei Masa Bodesh, and he died within the 12 months. Harei's a get. Then retroactively, it's a get. Vavinanba. Now, this is a Gemara. This is a Mishnah later on in Ormus Sector. So Vavinanba. Now, we discussed in that Gemara over there. V'necho Shema Pius. Again, don't you have the concern, Shema Pius. So Rav Bar Rav Huna says, this is what my father, my Rebbe, meaning Rav Huna, said in the name of Rav. We're talking about where the husband says, I trust her, if she's going to say that I didn't come, then I didn't come during that time, then I trust her. I trust her to say that I didn't arrive during that time. But if it weren't for that, then yes, there would be the concern that maybe during that 12 months he had showed up at some point and been refined, sir.
So the
case of it there is, he says that I want the get to take effect as of now if I don't return in the next 12 months. Now, if he returns during the 12 months, the get's going to be busted. So is there the concern that maybe sometime during the 12 months he showed up and was Mephiah, sir? So, but if he said, or not even Mephiah, so just the fact that he showed up. But if he says to begin with, if she said that I wasn't in town, then we can trust her. Well, then, in that case, then the get will be a get after 12 months or when he dies. So we see though that there is the concern of Shem appears. So how can you say over here that where there's a 30-day delay in the giving of get, that you're saying he can give it, that he can give over the shlichus to the Beis Din, and they can appoint another shliach? What if Shem appears? Earlier, by the way, we had a point about Shem appears. We had previously, when we talked about, we had the case over there of Adam signing the get later on than it was written. And we talked about over there Shem appears. So Rashi had explained over there that if yes, then it would be a get yoshan, and Tosfos had a discussion over there that no, get yoshan is something else, that there's two different things. Shem appears and get yoshan are two different things. Get yoshan is where they were in yichud together, and there's a concern we've had a couple of times already, gita kodim uvna. People are going to think that maybe she became pregnant, that maybe she became pregnant after receiving the get, and therefore that the child was pogrom, he was born out, he was conceived out of wedlock. Pius, Tosfos says, is something else, that he may have been mevatel. He may have been mevatel the get in between. Anyway, isn't that an issue over here? So the Gemara says ichsir. So Rava was embarrassed that he hadn't thought of that point. In the end, it turned out that the wife in this case was an Arusa, so then there's much less of a concern that Shem appears. The concern of Shem appears would be that he might have made up with her and it would be a get yoshin, it was Mavatala get or whatever. That would be if they were already married from before that, so therefore there's a much greater likelihood that he eventually patched things up with her. But when she's an Arusa and they don't even know each other that well yet, then there's much less of a concern like that. So Amar Rava, Im Amar B'Nesua, Yemar Ba'arusa. So in fact, Rava says, if they said this din by Nesua, that he's going to try to be Mephiaser, would the same din apply to an Arusa? Not necessarily. So it turns out that Rava's psak was valid after all, not for the reason that he thought originally, but for a side point. Rabbi Akiva Eger refers over here in Gilyon HaShas. You have several places in Shas where you have that kind of thing, with Rava specifically, where Rava set up psak din, and then they question him on the basis of some Mishnah or Braisa or something else, and he was embarrassed that he hadn't thought of that, and it turned out in the end that he was correct, and the circumstances were such that his original psak halacha is valid. This is an example of the concept you talk about, that a Rav has siyata d'shmaya, and we find this particularly with Rava. There's explanations in Sfarim why dafka Rava, but in any case, the point is, so he had this special siyata d'shmaya, that the lasuki shmaita alibi d'hilchus, had to come up with the correct decision in halacha, even if on the face of it seemed at first that he was basing himself on wrong information, but it turned out after all that once you had the fuller information, then it turned out his psak halacha was correct.
That we do trust her in saying that she didn't come to be.
If he says to begin with that I trust her, but if he didn't say that, then not. Then we have the concern, Shem appears. So that's what the Chachamim were asking Rava. Is there the concern, Shem appears? And now that it turns out that she was an Arusa, then that's not an issue, because you're not going to have Shem appears by an Arusa.
But if it wasn't married.
But if they had been fully married, then yes, in fact, you couldn't necessarily say that this Shliach could delegate the Shlichus to the Beis Din and have them appoint another Shliach after 30 days, because what if Shem appears in between? What if Shem appears and now it'll be a get Yoshin appointed Rashi, or that'll be a Mevatel, the get appointed Tosfos?
And there wouldn't be a call.
And they wouldn't know a coil of what?
But then there were peers.
No, not necessarily.
May make up.
Yeah, but that we talked about a few days ago. Yeah, but that's different. If they're living in one place and they've been quarreling loudly the whole time, and now quiets down, then we can say that the neighbors are going to know. But here we're talking about the get is being brought from the dinner Yam. They weren't together anyhow, so therefore, right, so people
aren't. You wouldn't go to Bezin, if you know that this could happen, that he wants his sister to give her a get, and here he wants to stay married to her, I better do something about that get that I gave.
So that's the thing. Rashi explains. If there was no delay with the get, if he just sent the shliach and said, give it to her, then the husband is going to figure, yes, I might still be able to patch things up with her, but on the other hand, that requires me to get there ahead of the shliach. I may not be able to, so he may not bother schlepping out. But if he knows that there's a 30-day grace period, then he might well try to do that, and therefore there's much more of a concern of Shema Pius. But again, when she was in Arusa, then in the end, we're saying there's much less of an issue with that, because they don't know each other that well in the first place.
It's only if it's a different shliach, but if it's the same shliach also,
if it's the same shliach, then you're right. I mean, he appointed him as a shliach until he rescinds the shliach, and that's that.
Yeah, 30 days.
Even that, so it just means he has to wait 30 days. That's all. But,
but this whole thing
with the whole thing with Pius. I mean, so fine. I mean, the shliach, the shliach can't know one way or the other whether Pius he was given a shlichus with the get. He's going to deliver it. If it turns out that Pius, then the wife herself is going to have to know that there was something with that, and she's going to have to. She'll tell him. She'll refuse the get or whatever. But then, yeah. Okay, shliach everyone. Thank you.